A year ago tomorrow, 12 people were killed and 70 wounded at a movie theater in the Denver suburb of Aurora. A gunman entered the theater through a back door and started shooting. The suspect is James Holmes. He won't be tried until next year. But for the survivors of the shooting, moving on has to happen now. Marcus Weaver was shot in the arm. He lost a good friend, and he's with us now to talk about it from Denver. Marcus, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be a part of the show.
Well, so I've read that you say that not a day goes by that you don't think about what happened at that theater. And I wonder what it is that is sticking in your mind that you can't get out of your head.
Well, you know, as we're approaching on a year, each month has its share of challenges and also things go away. But I think the most consistent thing that has happened is the nightmares still continue, meaning, you know, I wake up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But as the months have gone on, I have a routine that I do where I either read a book, take the dog for a walk, engage my mind. So I'm not challenged by any of the thoughts or the feelings that I get that are associated with the nightmares that stem from the theater. I think the most vivid thing that I can express to you is just the gunshots and the chaos. And those things are the things that keep reoccurring in my head. And so when I wake up, I could either stay in that place or I could move forward by developing a plan to cope with, you know, some of the things like my arm being numb, the PTSD, just the feelings of remorse and those type of just hurtful feelings that come about each time I wake up after a nightmare. But I'm learning to cope with it and I'm doing pretty well. It's just that those are the things that keep going on. And that's why I say that each day I'll never forget. You know, my friend passed away in the theater right next to me with the court dates and all the circus surrounding everything. It's hard to forget.
Do you remember it vividly or have you been able to block some of the memories out?
Well, I mean, I only can block out as much as my mind will let me. It's a reality that I was part of one of the largest shootings, mass shootings in U.S. history. But, you know, and I still live in that same city or reminded of it each day as, you know, I talk to friends, family, even strangers who maybe have seen me talk or a speech I've given or something. It's always a constant reminder. So you really can't move away from it. So you either have to embrace it or suffer from it. And I choose not to suffer from it. So it's part of who I am now and it's part of my life. But I don't really feel as I'm a victim. I feel more a survivor. And as we get closer to July 20th, I'm getting more steam and building more confidence. But it's just a reoccurring thing that kind of is just with me.
Now, you were shot in the arm, as you said. How is your physical recovery going?
Well, my arm still gets numb from time to time, but it's doing better. I'm not on any psych meds or any medication. As far as mentally, you know, I was seeing a therapist for a while, but I stopped seeing about 4 months ago. And so just when I need it, I go. Also, we have a victims group that meets with just the victims. So those are the type of things that are helping me move on, both mentally and physically.
Have you been back to the movie theater since it happened?
Well, I did go back to the movie theater when they had the opening of the theater. After much up and down, wrestling with it all, it was just clear that I should go just because it was the last time I saw my friend Rebecca. So therefore, it gave me closure there. But it was a really hard decision. But I did go, and it was kind of funny when I went up to the front door. There was a guy waiting there whose brother had gotten killed in the theater, and he was waiting for me, actually, and he wanted to take a picture with me because his brother would have wanted that. So that kind of made me feel good. But once I went inside, it was a lot of dignitaries and people who weren't really victims but part of, I guess, Cinemark or, you know, Aurora, you know, city government. And so me and Megan, my girlfriend at the time, we ducked into one of the open theaters, and we just prayed about it because it was pretty hard. And then we went into theater 9, which is now Theater H, and my friend Kaylin Bailey, who was part of the shooting, she had lost a loved one. Well, she mentioned that she kind of wanted to go, so I said I was going, so it was much encouragement to see her at the front door of that theater. And we sat by each other and kind of just took it all in. And on the other side of it, you know, going through it really strengthened my mind, knowing that we're moving forward. So it was kind of like a benchmark, just like July 20th is, of where I was. And I was really empowered by going.
What have you been doing just for fun, just to take your mind off of all of this?
Well, I don't know if I do things for fun. I'm before the shooting, I was pretty involved in community with projects like Budge Warehouse, where we help men and women who are rebuilding their lives by providing jobs. And I'm on different committees that are geared towards helping offenders, part of you know, different associations. I just think that since the theater, the platform's changed a little bit for me to where I become a speaker. And so I've been able to go across the country with ABC Ministries and speak to men and women in prisons, in hospitals and churches, and middle schoolers here in Colorado, and also homeless shelters. And so I tell them my story before the theater and then about what happened after the theater. And it's all about obstacles and forgiveness and those types of things. But for fun, physically, you know, it's I'm still not all there. There's a lot of like just weird things with my body these days. But, you know, as far as like my mind and my kind of knowing what I want to do, you know, with the whole thing with the theater, it just, you know, I don't really do anything for fun. So it's kind of funny that you ask. Fun to me is helping others. And I think that's what's really kind of got me through. I feel that by helping others, it's really helping me. And then also by telling my story, I think it also helps me too as well. So, and others. So that's kind of what I do for fun.
We're talking with Marcus Weaver. He survived the mass shooting at the Century Theater in Aurora, Colorado, which occurred a year ago tomorrow. We'll hear more from Marcus after a quick break. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
Let's continue our conversation now with Marcus Weaver. He was shot in the arm at the Aurora, Colorado movie theater a year ago. 12 people, including his friend Rebecca Wingo, were killed at that shooting. 70 were injured. Before the break, Marcus told us that when the theater reopened in January, 6 months after the shooting, he went there and that that was a big milestone in the healing process for him. But Marcus, tragically, there have been a number of other terrible shootings since the Aurora shooting. And the one that sticks out in everyone's mind, of course, is the Sandy Hook shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. What do these terrible incidents bring up for you?
You know, I was kind of on my way. You know, I went home for Thanksgiving, you know, did a couple speaking engagements out there, and, you know, was really feeling like, man, I'm ready to turn the curve. I'm empowered. And then the whole Sandy Hook thing happened. And, you know, I was devastated. I was getting calls from other reporters and just media folks asked me to comment. And I just, you know, I did not want to comment. I said, only thing I can comment on is we need to be praying for those families, because I had just went through the early stages of what it felt like to be, you know, a victim and to lose a loved one, not to the degree where it's my own child, but I could understand that feeling they had, that emptiness, that hurt, you know, and it really bothered me. So I didn't really watch TV too much that weekend it all happened, but I remember I clicked on the TV and it was on one of the stations, and they had a little candlelight vigil type thing, and they showed the pictures of the children. And there's nothing worse than like a parent outliving their child, you know, and it just brought it all back. And there's been a couple other things too with the Boston Marathon, also just all different types of things across the world where, you know, we really live in a broken society where, you know, those are things that are on the front page, and it's just, they're horrible things because there's real people who are going through just tremendous like pain and suffering and due to the hands of others, and it's just awful. So I had to reprogram myself, and it was just right before the Aurora shooting that I kind of just got everything back together enough to where I could go to that. But the Sandy Hook thing was probably like another low point, besides the day after the shooting when I heard that my friend Rebecca had passed away. So they were pretty dark days. Yep.
Did you reach out to any of the Sandy Hook parents?
You know, I didn't really. You know, as I was recovering from my own, yeah, I knew what they were going through, so it would have been difficult to kind of contact them and be in a place to where, but I was definitely praying for them, you know, and if there was an opportunity, I would have totally took advantage of it, but it was just difficult. It's like a lot. I realized through the Aurora Theater shooting that sometimes when something tragic like that's happened and you've really lost a loved one, especially a child, you kind of want to go through it on your own, and we were fortunate to have the Columbine victims contact us who had been through something similar. And as a matter of fact, one of the first speaking engagements I did was down near Columbine at a church that's located there. And one of the the girls who invited me to speak was a victim of the Columbine, so that kind of helped me out. You know, I really felt that was kind of the one of the turning points early on, being able to go to speak to a church group about what happened, but it being a Columbine victim who invited me and encouraged me to share my story. So it's amazing how those two things are connected, but the Sandy Hook thing was just a whole nother, just, it was a super black eye. And so I kind of didn't want to, you know, pry or reach out, but I was just definitely praying for him.
Marcus, what are your thoughts on gun control after all this?
Well, you know, people ask that all the time. As a matter of fact, a Korean broadcasting network team came out and they were doing a story on gun control. And I told them that I didn't have a position either way. I feel that Americans or should have guns, should not be taken away, you know. But I do feel that the laws and the way that we purchase guns, the amount of bullets we buy and the background checks that do or don't show the criminal record sometimes, or how they don't show the mental history, we need to really take a look at those procedures. And I know it's going to require a bigger government, you know, to do those things, but we really have to protect ourselves. And also how we go out, and when we go out in public in those public places, where's our protection at? Like, anybody could, you know, duplicate what James Holmes did. But at the same time, if the government really wants to make a true change, we have to look at those things. You know, the types of guns, you know, the amount of bullets that you sell at one time, the background checks. Is it extensive enough? Those are the questions we should ask. I don't think we should eliminate guns, because there's people who enjoy guns and are very safe with them.
But you do know, you feel like if there were stricter gun control measures like the ones you're talking about, that the event that happened in Aurora could have been prevented?
Oh, 100%. Or at least there would have been like a red flag that went up. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you totally can prevent people from doing cowardless acts or using guns, you know, to hurt other people. But we could try to set up a system to where we can cut down on the number of incidents like a Sandy Hook, like Aurora Theater, you know, those type of things by having stricter gun control laws. But I'm not saying do not take guns away.
Do you think that Congress should have taken up and passed this assault weapons ban recently?
Absolutely. I don't think there's no need for assault weapons. What do you need those to go out and to hunt deer or elk? I don't really feel that they're necessary to have, you know, in the home either. So, I mean, but that goes along the lines of what I was talking about earlier, where we need to look at the type of guns that we're allowing normal citizens to purchase. You're talking military grade weapons that shoot out, you know, thousands of bullets in minutes. And that's dangerous for any one person to have any one given time, for sure.
Have you decided, Marcus, whether you're going to watch the trial of James Holmes next February?
Well, I'm decided. I've been to the first three set court dates, and I get this numbness feeling. There's way more lawyers than victims. There's way more media than victims. And seeing James Holmes, he just looks like a broken person who doesn't have a clue on what to do. And his lawyers seem to, you know, have directed him to plead not guilty by reason of sanity. But there was an opportunity a couple court dates ago where he pleaded guilty to life, and all the victims got together and we voted on it. I was one who would have totally been okay if he would have took life, just for the simple fact that it drains everyone who goes there to court, especially if you were a part and you were there in the theater. Also, seeing his parents, the emotional side, my hope is that I pray that he will plead guilty and he can end all this. If I could talk to him, that would be the conversation. Hey, you could end all this. You know, we decided that that's your fate. We are the victims who you hurt and the families. And we feel that, you know, the death penalty is warranted. Even though I'm not a death penalty proponent, I side with all my fellow victims and people who were part of, you know, the whole incident. It becomes a circus every time you go, and it just drains me to the point where I don't even go to work afterwards, because it's stinging. So if I try to eliminate the things that I have control over, then it's not so bad. But going to court is pretty painful.
Well, Marcus Weaver, our thoughts are with you. Thank you so much for talking with us, and best of luck.
No problem.
Marcus Weaver survived the shooting at the Century Theater in Aurora, Colorado, outside Denver. Marcus says he plans to attend a private vigil with other shooting survivors.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com. And Bicon, providing the Bicon Dental Implant System, a comprehensive short dental implant solution since 1985. Details at Bicon.com.